Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion on this beautiful snowy day, snowy weekend in Plainfield with the subject of life. We are recording this morning from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we welcome you all in. Thanks for joining us. We'll start with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from page 108 of Collectanea today. There is nothing present nor has power apart from divine life, truth, and love as infinite mind that can possibly control or confuse my thought, obscure my spiritual perception, or hinder my progress in Christian Science spiritually, mentally, morally, physically, financially, or any other way. God's will is all good always, is harmony, perfection. The will of God is health, gladness, all good life. His will is the consciousness of divine ever presence, of life eternal. It is to know what it is to act in conformity with the divine purpose and to be wholly governed by God. Look away from body to spirit. My being is spiritual. My life, my intelligence are spiritual. My senses are spiritual. My life is hid with Christ in God, and there is no other existence. Nainvika Eddie.
Well, thank you. Okay, Karen, our watching point.
Watch number 226. Mm-hmm. Watch, lest you believe that the influx of life to man can ever be lessened or cut off. In fact, man himself is the efflux of life. Mrs. Eddy once said, quote, "I am the ceaseless intake of God's eternal giving," end quote. Science declares that man never dies, never grows old, never has a lessening of life and vigor. Thus, such things are no more than tricks of the imagination. Mrs. Eddy once said, quote, "There is nothing gained by waiting for death, for it never comes." We must individually lift ourselves above the claims of the senses, end quote.
Thank you. All right. Comments?
Well, that quote, "I am the ceaseless intake of God's eternal giving," that's just been on my thought all week, and it just means that's the source of our supply is within us. It's just flowing out without any ability to stop at any point. It's just ceaseless. And that word efflux, you're just pouring out all the time. And we're just the channel through which it's coming. Man is just pouring through us and flowing out from us and right out from God through us. It's a wonderful thought. Or we couldn't possibly not have anything we desire.
Thank you. And thanks for looking up efflux. I meant efflux. I meant to look it up and forgot. So pouring out, right? Just.
Yes, yes. Also, another word for it is emanation. And Mrs. Eddy uses that in Science and Health. Emanation.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. It's just wonderful. And yeah, I was taken with that quote too. The ceaseless intake of God's eternal giving. Anyone else?
Well, that's the truth about every one of us. And if we keep that truth in thought every minute of every day, it will guide us, won't it? Go ahead.
No, are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of influx and efflux. in relation to man as a reflection of God. If that's what we are, then we have to reflect all the qualities of what God is, because reflection doesn't leave anything behind from the principle.
Right, and influx is our receiving, and efflux is our giving, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that includes the influx of newness all the time, which rebuts the claim of age and aging. And we're so inundated in society with, you know, worrying about all that stuff, and it's so subtle and obnoxious. But newness is a wonderful word to know that is incoming all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, which is why,
never new.
Which is probably why Jesus told us to put off the old man and to put on the new man, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you become a clear receiver of all this good, because your windows are polished. You don't have all that old stuff blocking it out. The windows are all polished, and God's able to pour forth his goodness to you. And then, yes, you pour it to give to others.
I was just thinking about how she did this so effortlessly, how she demonstrated, just live that, because she sat quietly next to Mr. Clark. You know, she didn't speak any words to that man in Lynn, you know? That was just a pure outpouring.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you. It sure takes the word get out of our vocabulary. Because if we are the influx, there's no getting in our experience, ever. Mm. And if we ever say that, I've got to get a job or get a friend or get health or get... It's like, whoops, I'm denying that it's already flowing out for me. It's just all within. So it's I'm very careful about that word now.
Oh, good. No, that's a good one. Very good.
Good thought.
Mm-hmm. You know, I work often with that article attributed to Mrs. Eddy on age. And in that, she says, the life and strength of which you are the constant recipient are indestructible and infinite, and nothing can prevent their inflow. Again, pouring forth life and strength, constant recipient. There's never a moment when you're not. If you think you're not, it's just because you're not paying attention to what God is doing. And your faith and trust in the omnipotent power of truth are perfect and unclouded. And you know that God is your sufficiency. You do now and ever must manifest the God life that is shining in you. It is working always in every part of your being to will and to do. So you think you have some part of your being where this isn't working? That's a misconception. You're believing 2 + 2 = 5. Every part of your being. All right, Ingrid?
I have to express my gratitude. Thank you for bringing this article. It has really changed my life. I have been listening to it every morning while I brush my teeth. Mm-hmm. And it's just like amazing. And if I don't do it, even for just 2 days, I can feel the difference in my day. I'm just sharing this with my heart because it's been so amazing. I do say, for what I have read from Mary Baker Eddy, even if it says attributed, I don't believe it's written by her, but it doesn't matter to me because it's so full of spiritual truth. It must have been from one of her students then, because it's so amazing. I'm so grateful for that. Thank you for bringing that article.
Then it would be from her because they learned it from her.
Yeah, they take notes and got it from her.
So it is from her.
Yeah, so thank you. And I agree. I work with it just about every day as well. And it does make a difference because you're bombarded with all the beliefs of age and you've got to constantly be knowing is not the truth. So it's a powerful article. I thank God. That was the first, excuse me, unauthorized, quote unquote, literature mm-hmm. I ever received from Gary's grandmother. And when I was so excited and told my practitioner about it at that time, she said, "Oh, no, you don't read that. That's unauthorized." And I could be excommunicated for reading it. Well, I was so shocked. I was just a young adult at that time. I never heard of such a thing. And I kept it and I read it. So what's the lesson from that? You don't tell anybody that you're doing it? Well, that doesn't make sense. Mrs. Evans used to say, I'm quoting Mrs. Eddy, that honesty is spiritual power. Dishonesty is human weakness, which forfeits divine help. So you're going to do it. You might as well tell everybody. And if they excommunicate you, so be it, which is more or less what happened to us.
Anyway.
Yeah. Not much long after since that
not
experience.
For that reason.
No, not for that reason. But anyway.
That's amazing that even in Christian Science, we talk about excommunicating. I mean, to me, that's just like it doesn't go together.
Right.
Yes.
Or even Christianity is all about love and compassion. And we just kick out someone that needs help and obviously is trying to do good. I mean, it just doesn't go with it at all to me.
No, and that's true. So
yeah, Jesus didn't kick that guy out that was teaching in his name or whatever. He just said, told his disciples, says, "What would she do with him?" And Jesus said, "Just leave him alone."
Yeah. Let the tares and wheat grow side by side mm-hmm. and it'll work itself out. All right.
And he says the shepherd doesn't leave the sheep. And then, we're doing that and other things in the church.
If
people don't understand about Christian Science, they say, "Oh, go away for 6 months or a year and then come back." What? They need the support and the help. That just happened in the church. It's like, what is this? Not Christian Science for sure.
No. All right, Nancy, you want to read what you gave us or sent to me?
Yes, sure. Just an excerpt from an article entitled Eternal Life by Duncan Sinclair, and it was from a 1923 Sentinel. Christ Jesus was the great exponent and demonstrator of life. It is true that his early career was brief, but throughout the whole of it, he was unquestionably proving that life is God and therefore indestructible. Christian Science declares that God is spirit or life and that he is infinite. Hence man, God's creation or offspring, must be spiritual and eternal, for the word infinite implies eternality. Mrs. Eddy states the truth very clearly on pages 289 and 290 of the Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, when she writes, "Man is not the offspring of flesh, but of spirit, of life, not of matter. Because God, life is God, life must be eternal, self-existent. Life is the everlasting I am, the being who was and is and shall be, whom nothing can erase. The fundamental fact is that God is life. Consequently, the entire spiritual universe, including man, reflects eternal life. Man cannot possibly be separated from God, divine life. Man is at one with life, has always been at one with life, and ever shall be." And I just love that very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And it is why we think about that at one minute all during our day. We're at one with the Father. And it's very important to know that first thing in the morning and throughout the day. And that doing that, we are also at one with life, spiritual life. Now, Nancy also sent me an article. I'm pretty sure I put it together, but it was Mrs. Evans who gave us all these thoughts. And the article is for staying on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. And this is a collection of things that, that she gave us through the years that we have always worked with. And I find them extremely helpful. I think all of us here do. Whether you do it or not is it's all up to you. But she would say the first thing in the morning before you hit the floor, to know that God is mind, God is my mind, and God is the only pure mind. And along with that, God is life. God is my life. God is the only pure life. It's very important you identify yourself with this life. Your life is in God. It's not dependent on your organs, okay? It's in God. You can't be looking to matter in your body for life. It's held in God. And to know that first thing in the morning is very powerful, as well as knowing that God is your mind. Mrs. Eddy has said that I shall have no other mind but the divine mind, and all my hours are his. She would start her day with that. And then you can go on with that thought. You can know that God is your strength, God is your health, God is your vision, whatever you might need for the day. And why? Because you are his reflection, his beloved child. And then also, I am a law unto myself that mental malpractice cannot harm me either when asleep or when awake. And that goes along with our daily duties. You make sure you're going through the daily duties. They're duties for a reason, right? And they're treatments. They're actually complete treatments. There's nothing in those three daily duties that Mrs. Eddy doesn't handle. They're very, very powerful. I remember learning them in Sunday school, and you all should know them by heart. And then prior to reading the lesson, pray that God opens your heart to hear what he has to say to you today. That's very important too. And to know, as we've talked about, that this is the word of God. It's not just some nice lady or some nice people writing a book or books. This is the word of God. It's the truth. All this other stuff you hear on the news and the stupid advertisements on television or wherever else is not the truth. This puts you in contact with the truth. And then she would said to take some thought from the lesson to use during the day. Write it on a piece of paper to have with you. Now, this has resulted in, for me and others, you know, just all of these statements of truth, either the Bible or science and health, that you learn, you use, they're yours. They're not only just words. When error comes knocking at your door, you can say, hey, nope. You're not telling me the truth. This is the truth. It is how Jesus combated the Satan in the temptations that he endured and overcame. And if Jesus was tempted, then we shouldn't be upset when we're tempted. And in the article by Bigdal Young, I think it's called The Three Treatments, but Chardell sent me part of it last week. And in this, it's called Our Daily Bread. But Bigdal Young says, clear up your thought right away in the morning. Think, as I go on my way rejoicing in the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And then Mrs. Eddy left Science and Health for us to amplify. Take and amplify one statement of the textbook daily. Study it in a progressive way and ponder it. You can't study it today as you did yesterday because there has been more revealed. Be normal, be peaceful, be sure, and let the one mind operate. So I just love that. You know, think about it in the morning. As I go on my way rejoicing in the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And then have that statement of truth with you. It's very important. And then during the day, have the three statements of Christ Jesus on your lips, repeating as necessary. I and my Father are one. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works, and the Father hath not left me alone. powerful statements to keep with you during the day. And then each day, and we were taught to read 5 pages of science and health, miscellaneous writings, and the Bible, or whatever you can schedule. But all of these things, and especially this, it's subject to what is good for you. Sometimes I just read a paragraph or even a few sentences, but keep progressing and know your books, know your science and health, know your prose works, know your Bible. A lot of problems come up because you don't know the truth. You don't know what's in these books. And why is that?
Your mind is not already full of good.
Yeah.
You don't give it a priority. You don't read it.
You don't study it. You don't think it's necessary. Like I've said, someone told me recently she read Science and Health once a long time ago, prose works once a long time ago. I can guarantee you I could ask a zillion questions about what's in those textbooks, and this person would not know. You can't just read it once.
And
go ahead.
You know, I have found out we don't really work enough mentally to just really offset and take out of the way the resistance to reading the Bible lesson or any of the great Christian Science literature books, I say. We're not really that aware of that resistance. And I have found that every time I do that and say, this is what God would like me to do, and I must do it, it gives me more strength and determination to take more time for study and pray.
Thank you. Yes, this isn't any personal request from anyone. It's God speaking.
Responsive reading, it just says to keep the word and retain the word, get wisdom, forget it not. And it says neither let it decline. That means don't stray away. And that the whole thing was talking about otherwise the world will influence you. But I feel like everything you just said fits right in with
it. It does. And I love that. I love that responsive reading. And we have it often in the lesson. We had it last week too. Write it in frontlets, you know, teach it to your children. Don't believe me. This is no personal request. Thank you, Ingrid. This is something, if you feel it is, that God wants you to do. We also sometimes talk about here about having mental indigestion. There is something about reading and studying and reading and studying and reading and studying too much, and you're not living it. So a proper balance is important, and you can tell when you've read too much. You just feel like, I've had enough of this. It's not registering anymore. So let always God guide you. God is your teacher, and he will tell you.
Thank you for bringing you have it as you live it, an amazing quote from Mary Baker Eddy.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then in the evening before sleep, go over the day. Thank God for the blessings. It's helpful to keep a list. Then ask God if there's anything you could have done better. That's a self-examination. That's keeping your slate clean. And that helps you have a good night's rest and wake up in the morning refreshed, not burdened with yesterday's problems. Finally, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Psalm 31, before closing your eyes for the night. Just give yourself to the Father and know he's there with you through the night. And watching over you tenderly. All right, so I don't know if you have any questions on that, but those were things that we just, and I know I do, most of us do this, just because we've done it for so long, because it's so meaningful to us to do these things. And keeping on the straight and narrow, it's helpful. But you modify it too. Whatever you want to do. And it's always God instructing you. It's always got to be from God to you. These are just suggestions.
But it's the discipline of thought that matters. whatever disciplines your thought in the right direction.
Lawrence, did you want to say anything?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. Well, yes. And then the beautiful, well, first, Jeremy, you want to read the golden text?
Romans. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you. In one of the articles Carrie sent, it brings out the point that the wages of sin, which comes before this part, the wages of sin are death. But it says wages concerning sin, but God gives gifts. These are all gifts that God gives us. He gives us so many gifts. Are we grateful for them? Are we aware of them? And certainly the gift of life.
And this is not a gift in this sense of human giving, where, you know, people can give a gift or they can take it away. This is not a gift that can be taken away. This is the word gift here is it's more like the law that applies to us. This is who and what we are. We are God's gift. We are the expression of life. And it can never, ever be taken away or interfered with.
Again, it goes back to, I am the ceaseless intake of God's eternal giving. In another article, I thought this was a good point that Carrie sent. Was actually the story about Jairus and the healing of his daughter. But it says, we dishonor God when we believe in death, who is life, with a capital L. That really struck me. Because, you know, we seem to see this idea of death all around, right? But it's a misconception, and we're actually dishonoring God if we believe in it. And that is why that story, remember the Mrs. Eddy asking her student if she had been working? Mm-hmm. And the student said yes or something like that. And then what did Mrs. Eddy say to her?
When you see old age, do you see, I don't remember the words, but like vitality and, mm-hmm. and joy and... Just was she looking at things
yeah.
correctly every time she looked at
yeah, even the falling leaves, yeah. even the decay of the leaves. Yeah. Are you correcting it in your thinking? You know, in the news they'll say so and so age, blah blah blah. They always give the age, right? So yeah. you categorize. Mm-hmm. All of those things are denying eternal life. So
that's a real practical way of living above the corporeal senses. I mean, it's really easy to let that stuff slip by.
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
That's why we discipline our thought first thing in the morning. So it won't slip by.
And that can, sorry.
And throughout the day.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It is always making its suggestions. So very important, and it is. I think it's a good thing to remember. You're dishonoring God. And never to compare yourself. It's so easy to compare yourself. Oh, look how well they're doing, or look how badly they're doing, or whatever. No. We dishonor God when we believe in death, who is life. And that other I don't have it with me, but it's a beautiful quote Mrs. Eddy gives us about we're on the eternal road to life, where even you can't even have a sense of death. It's impossible. So keep that foremost. As Tony just said, it's a very aggressive suggestion all the time around us. And in that...
And important to know... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that also it comes out to me to see it impersonally. Not that there are so many people that are thinking wrongly, but seeing them as they know the truth too, and there's only impersonal evil. It's not them. It's not them, you know, knowing the lie, but that they know the truth. Really, they do.
Thank you.
That's part of the whole thing.
Right. Yes, it is. There's not we and them or anything. It's one, and we all do know this truth and see it. Thank you.
It was from the Red Book. Instead of being bound for the grave, we must know we are on the eternal road of life that has no sense of death.
Thank you. I just love that. Mm-hmm. It's like the yellow brick road, the eternal road of life. You're just skipping along with nothing but beauty and peace and joy all around, and no not even a sense of life, or sense of death, excuse me. And that is why if you go to funerals or other things like that, which generally as a Christian Scientist, we don't. But if you feel you need to, you make sure you've got your armor on and you're alert to all those suggestions about it. So,
and when you enter an immoral atmosphere, it is for the sole purpose of healing it.
Yes, thank you. An indirect quote from Science and Health. Mm-hmm. And in the box of things from the Eustace Foundation, I've mentioned this before and I have an article about it, but in the New York Herald Tribune, it was a small article, but Eustace had cut it out and left it in this box, which the doctors are saying that there's no reason to get old. It's just not true. Time is not toxic, and that your body is constantly renewing itself. All the cells, everything, I mean, every 7 years or something, you have a whole new body, is my understanding. So what the heck is going on? What the heck is going on? It made it really clear. It was just a little article, but and it would be very easy not to even see it, but it was very powerful. And it wasn't just one doctor. It was many physicians. So don't buy into this belief. No, you're on the eternal road of life.
That is what Christian Science absolutely teaches. So amazing. So that every time we go out there and hear all the things about aging and age and limitations and everything, we have all the weapons that we need to contra all of that, those lies. It's so amazing. Especially that article, thank you, that you brought about age, which I think if Mary Baker Eddy would have written it, he would say ageless as a title. By the way, that always comes to me.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And again, we were taught here that to know that we are ageless, diseaseless, and deathless, and say it to yourself often. And, you know, sometimes people have told me, oh, that's too much. It's too much to think about, too much work to do. But as I've said, it's you're always thinking something. Why not think of the enduring, the good, and the true? And actually, it's not any more work.
It's just, more work digging yourself out of the hole that you put yourself in.
Exactly.
It certainly is. Why not?
I'm better than thinking all the junk that we hear. Way better.
Way better. Yes.
What's helpful to me is to know that I am spiritual. That cancels for me the sense of the material sense of things, thinking about the body and all of that, and to rather concentrate on the fact that God is spirit, and if I'm His reflection, I am spiritual.
Yes, thank you. Not trying to change matter or do anything to matter, but yes, it's spirit, and the more you know it, the more you'll feel it, the more you'll have it. So thank you. And in the beautiful story of Jesus healing the damsel, and when he says, Talita Kumi, which means, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And another definition of that is little lamb or little girl. It was very tenderly said, you know, little lamb, arise, get up. And in The People's Idea of Good, Mrs. Eddy says, God grant that the trembling cords of human hope shall again be swept by the divine Talita Kumi. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Then shall Christian Science again appear to light our sepulchres with immortality. We thank our Father that today the uncremated fossils of material systems already charred are fast fading into ashes, and that man will ere long stop trusting where there is no trust, and gorging his faith with skilled proved a million times unskillful. Isn't that beautiful? I think it was Bob in Colorado who pointed that out to me once a long time ago, but grant that the trembling cords of human hope shall again be swept by the divine Talita Kumi. Then shall Christian Science again appear to light our sepulchres with immortality. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful application of that story. So remember that. And remember, this story is particularly shows the tenderness and love of Jesus. One of the articles, again, that Carrie sent brought out the fact that everyone was so excited and everyone was so amazed at the healing. But Jesus, what did Jesus say after the healing?
To tell anyone and to feed her,
yes,
and then not to tell anyone.
Yes.
Be normal.
Yes, to feed her. She was hungry. He knew her need. And that was the tenderness and love and practicality of him. And you could just feel the love to call the child little lamb or little child. You could feel that love that just flowed from the Father to him to that child and brought about the healing. So, and then another thing I love in the lesson, you know, in Science and Health, it talks about Christian Science to be understood and make the Bible the chart of life where the buoys and healing currents of truth are pointed out. So a buoy is an anchored float serving as a navigation mark to show the reefs or other hazards. Right?
And to mark the way.
Mark the way, yes, thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what our Bible does? Spiritually interpreted, it marks the way. That's why we have to know, you keep your Bible, you keep your books in your hands. No one's going to take it from us. And as hearers of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. Again, it has to be the spiritual interpretation, which we thank God for, that we have in Science and Health. She spiritually interprets it for us. And then it ends with that. I have set forth Christian Science and its application to the treatment of disease, just as I've discovered them. I have demonstrated through mine the effects of truth on the health, longevity, and morals of men. And I found nothing in ancient or in modern systems on which to found my own, except the teachings and demonstrations of our great master and the lives of prophets and apostles. The Bible has been my only authority. I have had no other guide in the straight and narrow way of truth. So unless the Bible is the basis for anything you're reading, then, you know, it might be nice. It might be pleasant words. It might even be helpful, but the Bible is what we go back to always. When you think, what did she spent 3 years just studying the Bible, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. Yeah.
So again, thank you. How much do you all study the Bible? And if you get caught up on all the negative stuff, then you do your own interpreting of it. Let God speak to you about it and tell you the real deep lessons that are in there, because they're there. And of course, Mrs. Eddy does. And that's also why we have our Bible studies, which people find so helpful. And the last one we had, I don't know, I think we had 130 people attending on a Saturday morning, which is wonderful. People need it. And then they come back later and listen again. And we have a whole archive of them. Bible lessons, interpreting it, in spiritual interpretation of it. As you know, I like Herbert Reike, and I got another Association Addresses, Volume 2, from the bookmark. And this one was David, How He Overcame Limitations, his 1950 address. And the 1951 address was Marriage and Divorce, and other articles about overcoming limitations and things like that. But he in that beginning one, which I love, the story of David, King David, such a wonderful story. He explains in further detail how to apply it in your life, how to bring it home, all those lessons that David did and learned, how to make it yours. And it's very beautiful. He also says, because he quotes the Psalms, you know, David was a psalmist, and he says, well, why don't you try writing your own Psalms, have some modern day Psalms. And then he writes Psalms, you know, some modern day Psalms, which are very sweet. And that's true. Why not? Right. Why not? Write some Psalms that apply to present day life. And he did a beautiful one. I think it was from Psalm 121 about traveling and cars and other things like that, which is very applicable. And he also, I'd like to share this because this is, I think, very important, where he says about David, there was now peace in all the land, and David was quite proud of his accomplishments. He wondered just how many people he did rule and how large an army he could gather. He therefore sent Joab forth to number the people. And finally, he got the figure, 1,300,000 valiant men that drew the sword. Immediately after taking the count, David realized his error, for he was believing his power was in numbers of men rather than God. As a punishment, I mean, this is not the spiritual interpretation of the Bible, a punishment came upon the land and killed 70,000 people in 3 days. David devoted all his spiritual energies, communion, and sacrifice, and the plague stopped suddenly. We can learn a valuable lesson from his experience. Don't measure your success by a material yardstick. Until 1900, Mary Baker Eddy gave a yearly count of the members of the Mother Church. Then she awakened to see that the strength of her church did not depend upon the number of members, but rather on the good that was being accomplished. At this point, she put this section in the manual of the Mother Church. Christian Scientists shall not report for publication the number of members of the Mother Church, nor that of the branch churches. According to the scripture, they shall turn away from personality and the numbering of people. Can you see how Mary Baker Eddy learned from studying the story of David? Remember that the success of your church never depends on the number of members you have. Likewise, your success does not depend on the number of dollars you have in the bank, so don't waste too much time counting them. Your success as a practitioner does not depend on how many patients you treat daily, but on how many patients you get rid of each day through healing them. So it goes on, but it is a very important point. And I have to remind myself, too, that the numbers, it's not in the numbers, it's how much good you've done. And we all, the story of Nehemiah. No, was it Nehemiah? No, what's the other one? The one where he was whittled down to only a few people.
Oh, Gideon.
Gideon is man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gideon. Yeah.
Quality, not quantity.
Exactly. So don't be all fussing over your numbers or comparing yourself to others, other whatever. What other people make financially, or how many are in their church, or whatever. It's the good that's being unfolded. It's what God is requiring of you.
Right. Count the number of people you've healed.
Well, and God knows.
God knows.
God knows. And then in the lesson, the beautiful from Science and Health on page 192, whatever holds human thought in line with unself-love receives directly the divine power. Truly, to work with that before every watch, anytime you're doing any unselfish prayer, you are receiving the divine power. That's an awesome, awesome thing to think about.
The influx comes in because you are effluxing.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you. Yes.
Well, this is a fundamental law of the universe. When you give of what you have to others freely, God gives you more to do that, because that's being godlike. That's the way God is. And to be godlike is our salvation. It's what gives us life. It's what gives us purpose. It's what gives us everything we need. Not necessarily everything we want, but everything we need.
Thank you. And then also in Science and Health, he to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed will believe our report and rise into newness of life with regeneration. Now, the arm of the Lord represents God's omnipotent might and capacity to act decisively like a mighty warrior. That's the arm of the Lord. And to be revealed is to make his mighty power visible and undeniable. And that's why when he accomplishes all these feats with only a very few number of men, you know, this wasn't the people, nothing personal. It was God Almighty working. It always is. And those people to whom the arm of the Lord are revealed, they will believe the report of Christian Science. They're the ones more naturally will accept it. And as Elizabeth was saying, we have to know everyone is that way. Everyone will accept this truth. Everyone is in this truth now. Everyone has Christian Science in their heart. Without exception. Doesn't matter what they think they call themselves.
I was going to use that as my post, the arm of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's all over the Bible. Jerry put a thing on our website about we can look things up in the Bible. But that I couldn't find many writings on it. So I didn't find any, actually. What I found was Mrs. Eddy. But so it's very interesting. The arm of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, the mighty power of him. And when he works, I mean, it's just undeniable that he is working. Make sure you pay attention to what he's doing in your life. So many things can fly by you. That's why your gratitude list is so important.
Could I add something to this?
Sure.
I'm thinking about giving in the service.
Wait one minute. We have to
Put it on speaker.
Yes. It is on speaker.
Well, try again. Okay. Go ahead. Try again.
Okay. Giving in the service of our Maker does not impoverish, neither does withholding enrich.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right. Same point. Said differently.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you. So it's very important that we give back in the science. So in the responsive reading about getting wisdom, that we have to get wisdom retained to hold or keep in possession, not to lose or part with or dismiss. And in an article again from Carrie about getting wisdom, the wise men said, get wisdom, get understanding. This wisdom reflects divine intelligence, which includes all substance, all beauty, all activity, all harmony. To get wisdom abundantly is to reflect these qualities. It is to have a sense of life eternal and free, with a peace that transcends all human comprehension. As one gets wisdom and understanding, he gains the true knowledge of God, of the idea of the true man, of the ideal man, and all true activities and relationships, and this is heaven. And as we know, that is very different than just human knowledge, right? Wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wisdom is God-given and so important. And another that I loved, this is called The Father's House. I think I'll have Gary end with this. It's by Annie Knott. And it just brings out what really it means about many mansions. And we are now in one of them.
Okay, she writes, Jesus' declaration, "In my Father's house are many mansions," has been a great source of comfort to many, but it has also given rise to much unprofitable speculation. It would seem, however, that one lesson is clearly conveyed by it, that is, that the Father's house is the universal domain of divine love, and that the needs of all God's children are amply provided for therein. It would also seem that the many mansions referred to by the Master represent the different stages of consciousness through which we must pass on our way to a full understanding of how divine principle, our Father, Mother, God, to mortal sense, our present abode may be lowly. It may even be overshadowed with sorrow or suffering. But a growing recognition of the presence of divine love will dispel the clouds and reveal a home radiant with the light of truth. And in the hours of still greater illumination, there will be glimpses of the walls of jasper, of sapphire, and of emerald. The cheering words, "I go to prepare a place for you," tell us that the Christ, the divine idea, ever goes before us, anticipating our needs and providing for them, and that as followers of truth, we too should be preparing for others, places in consciousness where no sense of evil can find entrance, either as sin, disease, or death. We should know that each of us is now in one of the many mansions, and that all good is therein and for us, if we but recognize it. The thought of this stately abode is beautifully expressed in Holmes' poem, The Chambered Nautilus. Quote, "Build thee more stately mansions, O my soul, as the swift seasons roll. Leave thy low-vaulted past. Let each new temple, nobler than the last, shut thee from heaven with a dome more vast, till thou at length art free, leaving thine outgrown shell by life's unresting sea." End quote.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.